Hi, Bob Barney with The Plain Truth Today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com, and this is a special Passover Feast of Unleavened Bread edition of the show. We're doing this 7:11 a.m. for a reason, and I'll explain that when we get into the show, but happy Passover for those that are following it, and today is the Day of Unleavened Bread, and we'll explain the holiday, as well as I will explain a special feature of today that I think those who have been following along with our calendar programs will understand the significance of today. Before I start with the significance of today and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and last night's Passover, and I do hope everyone had a very pleasant and good Passover last night if you followed it, but I wanted to get into, first of all, I mentioned about the calendar. We at The Plain Truth Today and theplaintruth.com for years now have discovered what I believe is the true calendar of God, and I think we have proved it many times, and we're not going to reprove it in this program, except to say we know virtually positively that the calendar that we propose is the same exact calendar that Jesus Christ was following. I think we have proven that time and time again. Jesus did not die, for example, on Good Friday and resurrect on Sunday morning. And if you think so, you need to go back and look at our calendar programs and other things that we have put on both written, plaintruth.com, as well as these podcasts. But a real short synopsis is that God's new year always starts on the spring equinox, which is March 20th, and 14 days later is the true Passover. We know when we read scripture that Jesus was not following the same Passover that the temple was following. And we also know through historical context, and that's Josephus and other historians of the time, that not even the Pharisees and the Sadducees agreed on the calendar in their day. When the Sadducees were in charge of the temple, they had a different date for Passover. And when the Pharisees were in control of the temple, which they were in the time of Christ, they had a different time. And we also know from the Dead Sea Scrolls that the Essenes, the third sect of Judaism, that is never really mentioned in the New Testament, only hinted to, John the Baptist, for example, it's almost been proven that he was an Essene, which were more like the Churches of God Seventh-day today. They had 99% of the accurate calendar, and also the ideas that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had polluted the calendar with a Babylonian calendar they adopted during their Babylonian captivity. And so though Jesus Christ was not an Essene himself, he didn't ever seem to mention them because I don't think he had that much wrong with their teaching. Now, they had a calendar as well called the Jubilees calendar that was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls that almost parallels ours, but theirs is a little different, and I do not believe theirs is correct. I believe that the calendar that Moses was following, that Noah followed, that God ordained Moses again to follow, and he said, this month is the beginning of your months. We talked about that last week, that calendar was based on the spring equinox, and every holiday falls on the same day every year. On a second note, and this, again, I'm not going to go into the proving it of today's program, or we'd be out of time. We know the exact year that Jesus was crucified by following the calendar. And it had to be a time when April 2nd was followed by a Jewish Passover that began on April 3rd. And that happened only one time when Pontius Pilate was in Jerusalem. That was the other key. It had to be between 26 AD and 35 AD when Pontius Pilate reigned in Jerusalem. And when we find those years, we find there is only two times that the Jewish Passover at the time at the temple was one day after what would have been Jesus's Passover. And only one of those times was it on a Tuesday night that Jesus followed the Passover, and a Wednesday that the Jews started their Passover, and that was AD 30. So we know that. And the reason we know that is we know Christ had to be crucified on a Wednesday afternoon in order to have 3 days and three nights in the tomb, which was the sign of Jonah, which was the only sign that proved that he was the Messiah, and he could not break that sign. And we also know, reading scripture carefully by understanding when the day begins in the morning and not in the evening, that Christ was resurrected from the dead before Sunday morning, meaning the Sabbath evening, the nighttime we would call Saturday into the early morning times, probably around midnight. And so that would make Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. If you go Wednesday to Thursday is one day, Thursday to Friday, second day, Saturday, Friday to Saturday, the third day, then we understand the exact day and the exact basic time that Jesus was crucified. And that is where I'm going to do the program today, starting from that point. And I just like to say we have many articles and we have other podcasts that explain exactly everything I just summarized in the last 5 minutes about proving the calendar, proving when the day begins, proving when Jesus was following that calendar, and proving when the only time available in all of history that he could have been crucified, and that is AD 30. Now, going from there, today is 1,996 years to the day that Christ was crucified. And if you're listening to this program at the 7:11 a.m. hour that we're recording this, that we're doing this, and we're doing a morning show and not an afternoon or an evening show on a Friday like we usually do, because I want you to think of this concept. When you're listening to this program, because we're 6 to 7 hours later in time or behind the time that the events at Jesus took place happened in Jerusalem, and that's 6 hours to 7 hours different than our time here on Eastern Standard Time in Virginia, or the Eastern time zone of the United States. If you're in California listening to this, you would have to add 3 more hours to that. But at this particular time, at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:11 in the morning, it would be 1 to 2:11 in the p.m., on the day that Christ was on the cross. So when you're listening to this program, Christ has been on the cross for some 2.5 hours, or at least. And that is because he was placed on the cross about noontime. And the Bible is clear that he died in the 9th hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when the lambs that the Jewish Passover was following was to be slain. They started slaying them in what they call between the evenings, because they were following an evening day and not a morning day. And the Bible does say you have to slay the lambs in the evening anyway, even in our case, that but it's the same day as the 14th, not that it began at the 14th that evening. But I'm not going to complicate here, but exactly 1,000, and I want you to just meditate on this, because it really came to me the other day, and it actually adds significance to this hour and this day, that exactly 1,996 years ago, at this moment, Christ was being crucified on a cross for our sins and was suffering tremendously. Before this, like during last night, he was whipped and beat to beyond recognition by both the temple guards and later by the Roman guards over him. And then after he was abused and beaten, he was forced to carry his cross up to Calvary, where he was then placed on the stake. And it really wasn't a cross. If you understand the Greek word, it's more like a stake, like a tree. And the cross is probably pagan in origin and not really how he was crucified. It probably was just a pole. Think of a telephone pole. And his hands were nailed above his head, his legs below him. And it was actually a worse crucifixion than you would have on a cross. But think that 1,996 years ago, at this very moment, your Savior was suffering and dying on the cross with thousands, maybe 10,000 people watching this crucifixion, some with glee, some with happiness, some with wonderment, and others crying their eyes out because they knew he was their Messiah and the Messiah of the world. And they also knew the identity that Jesus Christ was the Lord God of the Old Testament. The God who made you and me, who made all of mankind, the God, if you read the first chapter of John, the God who created the universe, it wasn't God the Father, it was Jesus Christ. He created every star, every planet, everything you see, and every single creature that was ever created was created by Jesus Christ in his pre-human form as the Lord Yahweh God of the Old Testament. And this powerful, all-powerful God, with the love that he had for his creation, decided to step down from his equality with God the Father, because in the book of John, he plainly says to the Father, glorify me like the glory we had together before the earth was created. They were equal gods. They were like Adam and Eve, created equally. Eve was pulled from the rib of Adam, not from below Adam's knees or something like that. I think many people misunderstand the creation of Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve is like a type of God in the flesh. That Eve, when she was created with Adam, when before she sinned first, then talked Adam into sinning along with her, and probably Adam did it because he didn't want to lose her. He knew he was doing wrong more than probably she did, but she became lesser of a person. And I know women's libs don't want to hear this, but she lowered her position of equality to man, and she was put under the authority of man. I'm sorry, but that is what the Bible says. And if you have a problem with that, you really have the problem with God, Jesus, the Father, and the Bible, not with me. And I'm just telling you what's on the words of the page. But originally, like Jesus was equal to the Father, Eve was equal to Adam. But because Eve became the first sinner and lost her rank of equality, Jesus on his own stepped down from that equality with the Father, stepped down as his love for us, and became lesser than the Father, then became a human being with divine origin, because his father was God and not Joseph, but his mother was Mary, which made him human and God, that he stepped down and became lesser than the Father. And that is why when you read scripture, Jesus does not equate himself in power or glory with the Father any longer. And that is the great love that Jesus had for us. And the idea that we are cleansed from our sins if we accept what Jesus did for us gives us eternity. It gives us when we rise from the dead, and that is the reward for true Christians. It's not going to heaven when you die or going to hell if you were bad when you die. You actually, according to the Bible, you actually go into a grave. The Hebrew word Sheol in the New Testament Greek is Hades, where all it means is a grave. You die as a Christian in Christ with the Holy Spirit imbibed in your soul, that when you die, you cease to exist. Your mind goes into a dormant sleep. And Jesus Christ himself calls that a sleep. It is not the death as the end of us. We go to sleep like a grain of corn, like the seed that you plant with corn. It's dead before you plant it. And then when it's resurrected, when it comes back to life again, it becomes a mirror image of that corn. Well, the same thing. When we die, we go into a grave and we wait a resurrection, and our mortal body rots away. We don't need that body. But there is an essence in that grave of us, our spirit, our soul. And it's not the soul of the Bible. It's the a special position of a Christian's spirituality that's still in that grave, that when we are resurrected from the dead, and that does not happen, just read 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, and the last three chapters of Revelation, and you will see exactly when Christians are raised from the dead. Not when they die and go to heaven, but when Christ returns after the last trumpet blows, when Christ is seen in the sky, his saints that are still alive on earth going through the tribulation will be immediately turned into spirit. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 15. And those of us that die and have been sleeping, as Christ calls it, is soul sleeping, and I know a lot of Christians don't want to hear that word, but all they got to do is read the Bible. Jesus plainly calls that a sleep. Our spiritual bodies that are in that grave, even though our physical bodies have rotted away over the years, our spiritual body becomes alive again, and we become a spiritual creation of God. We literally are born again into the family of God. We are not angels. We are not like angels. We are like the image of God. In the first chapter of Genesis, the first chapter of the Bible, it is plain when God says to themselves, Jesus is talking with the Father, let us create mankind in our image, after our own likeness, not in the image of man. When he created the cattle after the cattle kind, and the donkey after the donkey kind, and the mule, well, that's a different story, but the giraffe after the giraffe kind. But when it came to mankind, Jesus, doing the speaking, said, let us create man in our image, after our kind. God is reproducing the God kind through us, mere mortal human beings. So when we resurrect from the dead, we become like Christ is today. We become gods, and we will be a part of the Godhead. We are a part of the God family. This is one reason why Satan, the devil, hates us and wants to destroy us, is because Satan realizes the potential that humans are going to be above the angels, above Satan, above every other part of creation, that we become in some sort of celestial order, gods, and along with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's not blasphemy. That is what is in your Bible and my Bible that I read from and you can read from. That is the promise of those that are true Christians. And when Christ died on the stake 1996 years ago, he did so that we could have this hope of eternal, immortal life as children of God. And at this moment that you're listening to my voice, 1996 years ago, we know the year, 30 AD, we know the time, because the Bible tells us the time, between noontime and 3, that he suffered on the cross, and he died on the cross, giving up his spirit. Into thy hands, Father, I commend my spirit, he says, or commit my spirit, I'm sorry, and then gave up the ghost, or gave up his spirit, is the real translation, and died. And he was dead for 3 days and 3 nights. He didn't go into hell and preach, as people try to teach. He was dead for 3 days and 3 nights, awaiting to be born again Saturday night, sometime after midnight, into the family of God again. He picked up his mantle, a little lower now in power than God the Father, because he did this for his love of us, and became God again, was raised back to heaven, where he now sits at the right side of the power of God the Father, and he's preparing for a final countdown to return to earth during a time called, at the end of the time, called the Great Tribulation, and will set up his millennial kingdom, where he will reign from Jerusalem, from his throne, the throne of David, and all of us that were Christians will be with him, reigning as gods, the God kind. And this is the whole purpose why he came as a human being the first time, was to become man and to elevate Adam and Eve out of their state of sin to a state of godhood again. And that they, now it gave us the ability to have this eternal life, this immortal eternal life as gods, as the children of God the Father and Jesus Christ, to evermore never worry about suffering, dying, pain, sorrow. It's the utopia we all hope and pray for to happen for us. And it's going to happen for us if we want to commit ourselves to God. Now, many people who do not know this or do not commit themselves to God, if they still have lived a good life, the Bible is plain what happens to them. They are judged by their works, and they have a chance to live for that thousand-year reign of Christ called the millennium as human beings without the influence of Satan the devil. And therefore, sin will be removed from the world, giving all of the people who didn't make the first resurrection, Christians, these other people will be given a second chance if they were found to be rightfully good and not destroyed in the first judgment. And they live 1,000 years on this earth until a new heaven and a new earth comes. And that new heaven and new earth is going to be where God the Father and Jesus Christ reign from. And then all of humanity that survived the millennium and are blessed are then themselves born again into the God family as our brothers and sisters in Christ, in God the Father. And that is what the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread and all of these holy days represent. This is why it is pagan and it is wrong and it is against God's will to follow these holidays that Christians want to follow against what the Bible says to follow, like Christmas, like Easter, like Halloween, and all these other days we want to follow of our own calendar, which is really Satan's calendar, and we just simply cannot find it in our hearts to follow God's ways and God's calendars. We really want to take pagan days and put God's name on it and think, well, if we put Christ into Christmas, even though it was a pagan holiday, now it's a true church holiday. It is not. And let me make this plain and clear. During Christmas time, during the winter solstice, pagans took certain babies that were born under probably a year old and threw them alive into a burning furnace where they, for a brief moment, suffered the agony of fire and destruction. And we think we should take that day and Christianize it? Do you think God has a problem with that? Well, God does have a problem with it. And once you learn the truth and you want to stubbornly keep following it, then you are denying what God wants you to do. And believe it or not, you are not a Christian, and you're not going to make the first resurrection unless you repent and you follow God's holidays and follow the will of God and God's commandments. Now, I will say there are people who were Christians that have followed Easter, followed Christians, never knew the truth, loved Christ with all their heart, and followed the commandments as best they knew how, that probably, I'm not God yet, and they probably will make the first resurrection, even though they did not know these holidays. Knowing these holidays do not make you a Christian and do not save you. Following these holidays do not save you. The law does not save you. Christ, 1996 years ago, right now, died is what saves you. And his resurrection from the dead, conquering death, is what gives you your hope. And so if you didn't know that, then you have an excuse. But if you listen to me today and you know it and you research it like you should and you find out that I'm right, and you still refuse to follow what Jesus Christ wants you to do, what he suffered for, what he died for, then I'm sorry, I think there is a judgment against you. You may still have a second chance. I'm not going to even go there. But I can pretty much tell you right now, you're probably not going to be part of the first resurrection with that stubborn attitude against what God wants you to do. And I purposely timed this show for the end of this show, which is going to be about 7:35, 7:45, which is about close to 3 o'clock, because we don't know exactly when 3 o'clock really was, because they didn't have, you know, Eastern Standard Time and Western Standard Time and the time zones we have. But it will be about the same time when this show ends, in about 4 more minutes, that Christ died. He ceased to be. with his entire hope placed upon God the Father to raise him in 3 days and three nights from the dead back to being God again. This is a tremendous day. This is a day that you are living history right this moment. Now, some 1996 years ago, your Savior died. He horribly died. And his last words was to, or some of his last words were to, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Trying to, in his death, to give us that second chance. I'm trying to give you the first chance to put it all in perspective, to realize what Jesus did on this cross right now as he's dying, to understand what God did for us out of love, that we change our hearts, we stop being stubborn, and we start following Jesus and his example and the examples of the apostles that followed him and the many, many Christians who were martyred after him for our sakes and the sakes of yet people to maybe be born. We don't know when the resurrection from the dead and the return of Christ really is, and I never predict it because I don't know when it is. I take Jesus' word when he says no one knows the day or the hour except God the Father. I take the Bible for it being literally true. I think Jesus Christ never uttered a lie in his life, and when he said that, it must be true. So I am not going to predict when God's coming back. I'm not going to predict the end of the world. Let others do so to their own destruction. But I know it is going to come. And if you prepare yourself, even if you go to the grave, you have a spirit in that grave that's going to come back to life, because right now Jesus died, and in 3 days, 3 days from right now, he is going to be resurrected from the dead as God, allowing us to have that same resurrection at his coming. And I find that an emotional idea. It came to me when I was walking at a park that I go to every morning before I go to work and pray to God and talk to God. My prayers to God are probably not like anybody's that you see on TV. It's not formal. I just talk to God. Now, someday I wish God would talk back, but he only talks back through his word, the Bible, to me. And I do wish and I do pray that somehow God can tell me exactly what I should say in these programs. But all I can do is say what the Bible says, and I can't add to it or subtract to it, and I can't add new gospel because I'm not being visited by angels or Jesus Christ. I am just studying his word and understanding the love that he died as he died right about now, not 1,996 years ago to this very hour. This is Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today. I wish everyone who followed it has a blessed Passover. Those who did not follow it and maybe are convicted to do so, there's always next year, and there's other holidays this year. Next week, this next 7 days, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where we eat no bread with yeast in it, and we get yeast out of our house. And then the eighth day, which is next Friday, is the Feast of First Fruits. And that is the time when Christ became God again, literally, and returned to God the Father. And it's called First Fruits because Christ is our first fruit. That's what the Bible says. He's the firstborn, the firstborn again from the grave. And that is our hope. And I hope you all can understand it. Start studying it. It's in your Bible. There's a lot of things you can read and research to prove it's true, and have an existence coming that's more glorious than I can ever tell you, because I have never tasted it or experienced it. I long for it. God bless you all for listening. Please love what Christ did for you 1,996 years ago today. This is Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com. Happy Feast of Unleavened Bread. We'll see you again Monday. Bye-bye.